How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
It's kind of an annual tradition during college football season that I summon Softy. I summon Dave Softy Mahler from KJR in Seattle. He's the biggest University of Washington honk in the land. We summon him on the show. Maybe it's ratings. Maybe it's amusement. Maybe it's entertainment. But we bring him on for this Oregon-Washington game, and he always delivers. And so joining us now on the hotline, Softy, how are you, man?
Hey, listen, if I'm good for ratings, your ratings must be in the toilet, my friend. If you're bringing me on to help get better numbers for this radio show, then you must be on the edge of just, like, extinction. Like, John, I knew that you were a dinosaur in the business. I didn't know you were that big of a dinosaur. So if you're bringing me on, you're in trouble, man. If you're bringing me on, the asteroid is about to hit the Earth, pal.
I love it. It's turned into a roast. Look, Dave, yeah. Softy. I'll call you Softy. Listen, yeah. We've got 2 weeks of buildup. This is like a Super Bowl for this Oregon-Washington game. How are you feeling about that?
You know what? I like it. I would have liked it better if the Huskies were good the way they were a year ago. I mean, could you imagine if we had 2 weeks to get ready for the game in Vegas last year, how much fun that would have been, right? I mean, that's the biggest game that UW and Oregon have ever played. I mean, the first biggest game they ever played was back in Seattle in week 6 when Oregon missed the field goal. I'll take as many chances as I can to remind Duck fans about that one. Wide right, baby. I still have that thing posterized on my wall in my office right next to Elijah Jackson's tip against Texas. So thank you very much for that moment. No, by the way, if I'm going to rant for a little bit, if you don't mind here, John, that touchdown by Roma Dunze back in week 6 last year, that's a famous photo in Husky football history. I got to be honest with you, though, every time I see that picture of Rome holding his arms up in the air and I see Evan Williams laying on the turf, as if he just got posterized by Roma Dunze, I feel bad for Evan because he wasn't even in coverage on that play. He came over late and just kind of slipped and hit the turf, but he's the one who gets his face on the poster next to Roma Dunze for the rest of time. So week 6 last year, Vegas a year ago, those were all fun, but man, they would have been more fun if we had 2 weeks like this one, pal.
Softy, the take us through the motions of last year, because I remember seeing you at the national championship game. You were down on the field. You were soaking it up. Washington was there, and then within about 48 hours, Kalen DeBoer is out the door, and I know some Washington fans were pretty disenchanted with all that and thinking, gosh, what the highs and the lows, and then here comes Jed Fish. What has it been like?
It's been very odd, I got to tell you, man. It's been a little bit disenfranchising for me, if that's even a word. I mean, you're the writer, so you can tell me if that's a word.
You're fine.
I've been kind of bummed out a little bit by the whole thing. I mean, I'll be totally honest with you. Losing Kalen sucked. I mean, the guy is a Class A person. He's obviously a phenomenal college football coach. For as great a coach as he is, he's an even better dude. And, John, I don't know about you. I mean, you're a tad bit older than me, not by far, but a little bit. But when you kind of start to get into your late 40s, early 50s, I think you just start to appreciate people more for who they are. And I appreciated Kalen DeBoer for the guy that he was. I mean, he was phenomenal with us. He was phenomenal with the media. I don't know if there's anybody here that worked with Kalen that had a bad thing to say about him, to be totally honest with you. Got to know him as a guy before he got to know him as a coach. So losing him sucked. There's no question about that. And I got to be honest with you, Matt. I wasn't surprised by any of it. I was only surprised that he left for Alabama. I thought he was going to leave for Michigan. You know, he had some roots there in the Midwest, and we all thought there was a shot that Harbaugh was going to take off and go to the NFL, and that when that job opened up, that was going to be something we should all keep an eye on. And honestly, when he hired Jimmy Sexton, I got really nervous.
Yeah.
When he hired Jimmy Sexton, that this is not going to be going the way that a lot of us want this to go. So I wasn't surprised by any of it, but it was a huge bummer. And then Jed Fish comes in, and I think has done as good a job as anybody could have expected, man. I mean, they got 50-plus new players, including pretty much everybody on the offensive and defensive line. You know, that's the thing, John. If they were replacing some linebackers, a couple of corners, some wide receivers, maybe even a quarterback, but if they had 50% of their lines back from last year, I think this would look different. They probably would have beaten Rutgers. They probably would have beaten Wazoo. And this is an 8-win football team right now instead of a 6-win football team. So the job he's done, considering how little he had to work with on the offensive and defensive line and how long it's taken that thing to evolve as the year's gone on, I think has been pretty admirable, to be honest with you.
I'm watching a lot of first-year head coaches, you know, Brent Brennan at Arizona, Jonathan Smith at Michigan State, Trent Bray at Oregon State. It feels like it's an uphill climb in year one. Like, it is really hard with the transfer portal. But I feel like maybe the Washington fan, tell me if I'm wrong, Washington fan goes, hey, we understand you saw Penix going out the door. You expected kind of a letdown a little bit anyway. But there seems to be some resources at Washington that maybe some of those other places don't have. Like, how fast can Jed fix that?
Well, I mean, according to him, he's acting like it. He sounds like he can fix it pretty fast. But I'll just be wary of that because Steve Sarkisian said the same thing when he took over. Now, Sark was taking over an 0-12 football team, and 2 years later had them at 7-5 and beating Nebraska in the Holiday Bowl. So there was only one way to go, and that was up and out of the gutter when he took over. You know, Jed Fish is still taking over a team that the previous, you know, two of the previous three coaches took to a Final Four in Chris Peterson and Kalen DeBoer. So that's the standard. So, you know, when you say, you know, turn it around, when you say things like build it back up, you know, build it back up into what? A 9-win team? A 10-win team? A national champion caliber team? A Final Four team? Because that's the expectation still at Washington. I think Jed Fish gets a little bit of a break and a little bit of a reprieve for maybe a year or two, but sooner or later, I think all of us are going to expect him to do exactly what Kalen DeBoer and what Chris Peterson did. And why shouldn't we? Right? I mean, this is the 12th biggest market in the country. You got 100-plus years of history on your side. There's no reason why Jed Fish should not be able to pull that off when it's all said and done. Obviously, there's concerns about how long he wants to be here. You know, the portal is open both ways, and I don't think UW is going to have to worry about Damon Williams taking off, for example, but it's always something in the back of your mind until September comes around, or at least until spring ball comes around. So those little concerns that nobody had even thought about up until this year, I think are always going to be there at a place like Washington.
Will Rogers or DeMond Williams Jr., who's starting against Oregon?
Yeah, I think it's going to be DeMond. I wouldn't be stunned if it's Will, but I would put my money, if you forced me to put money down on who starts the Oregon game, I think it's going to be DeMond Williams, and there's a simple reason why, because I just think Jed Fish can't help himself. I don't think Jed Fish can wait to start seeing DeMond Williams play quarterback for him consistently. I mean, John, I realize the game has changed, the NIL, you know, the portal, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. Everything's totally different now. But he is talking about DeMond Williams in a way that previous coaches have never, ever would have dreamed of talking. Don James never would have named a starting quarterback in October for the next season. He never would have looked at a freshman who's 18 years old and admitted to everybody he's the face of the program starting next year. But those are the things that Jed Fish has said. So anybody who's excited about DeMond Williams and being told to kind of, you know, pump the brakes, you know, blame the head coach. Head coach is the one pumping this guy up more than anybody. I mean, very unconventional, you know, pulling Will Rogers off the field when they get to the red zone and giving the ball to number two random times. He's yanking the second all-time leading passer in the history of the SEC off the field and giving the ball to an 18-year-old. So if there's any hysteria about DeMond Williams, it's being fanned by Jed Fish, no question.
What is Washington playing for? Because Oregon's going to come into this game as the number one team in the country. They obviously don't want to lose that game and then go to the Big Ten championship game and risk, you know, being a 7 seed or an 8 seed. I mean, I think it really could hurt Oregon. But what's Washington playing for?
Yeah, well, I think it's different for every fan, and it's probably different for the players, and it's probably different for Jed Fish. I think Jed Fish is playing for another check mark on his resume that he can use to impress either A, other programs, or B, the National Football League, where he, no question, zero question, wants to end up someday and probably will end up someday. For the players that were here last year that played for a national title, a little bit of normalcy, you know, getting back to kind of where they were a year ago a little bit, and knocking off Oregon for the, what, fourth time in five tries or whatever it would be. They beat them three in a row, obviously. So, yeah, four out of five. But for me, I come from a little bit of a different spot. I'm looking at a picture, John, right now of Dylan Johnson's run on third down against Oregon last year that sealed the deal in the Pac-12 championship game. And for me, simply put, UW goes down to Eugene and they beat the Ducks. I'm playing for the right to laugh in your face. Absolutely laugh in your fat faces down there. Because if you can't beat Washington now, after everybody that's left, if you can't beat Washington now with 50 new players, if you can't beat Washington now with a Heisman Trophy quarterback, if you can't beat Washington right now with the, you know, the golden child at head coach and Dan Lanning, if you can't beat Washington now after what they did to you twice a year ago, then when are you going to beat them? I mean, honestly, like, this is supposed to be a no-brainer. I mean, dude, when Kalen DeBoer took off and the roster got gutted, my first thought is that Oregon's going to murder UW. They're going to want to murder Washington because of what happened in Vegas a year ago. They were, what, 10-point favorites? All I heard from people like you was, oh, God, Oregon's on a roll. Oregon's pissed off. Oregon's playing angry after they lost that game in Seattle. This is a different animal. I mean, how many times did you say things like that? And then Oregon goes to Vegas and almost gets pummeled by the Dogs. Obviously, they came back and made it a game. But, dude, that's what I am playing for as a fan. I want Washington to go down there and get a win because – I don't really have any thoughts of delusions of grandeur of winning this game, to be totally honest with you. Oregon's a much better team. They're on much better footing right now as far as the guys on the roster than Washington is. And frankly, the Huskies have no right to win this game. And if they do, after what they did to the Ducks last year twice in Seattle and in Vegas, I will laugh in their faces all offseason long, and I will rub it in like mad on social media.
It feels like a big game.
I will be the most.
It feels like a big game.
If you think I'm annoying now, wait until UW wins this game next Saturday.
It feels like a big game for Dan Lanning, isn't it?
Huge. Huge. I mean, dude, if he can't beat Washington now, when's he going to beat him? Right? I mean, look, if he can't beat Washington on Saturday, next Saturday, what makes you think he can get by, you know, a Georgia or an Alabama or even an Ohio State in a neutral setting, right? I mean, good God, yeah. I mean, the dude's 0-3 against the Huskies, and he's made, you know, ridiculous decisions in at least two of those games. He's had guys fake injuries. That's a fact in two of them, in Chris Hudson and Terrence Ferguson. And that's something that's been talked about up here. Who's the most likely candidate to fake an injury this time for Oregon? And if you're pissed off about people bringing that up, then blame your coach. Blame Tosh Lupoi and blame Dan Lanning for allowing that nonsense to happen. So, yes, I think it's a gigantic game for Dan Lanning, dude. A huge, huge game for him. I mean, just how James Franklin, you know, struggles against top 10 teams at Penn State, and they like to bust his balls about it. If Oregon loses this game next Saturday, and I'm a Duck fan, I am just hammering Dan Lanning for this, for sure.
This era of portal NIL has played right into Division Street and Phil Knight's hands. And Oregon, well-positioned right now to matter in this kind of system. And they're sitting there at number one. And if they get to the title game, will Husky fans pull for Oregon to as a Northwest team, or will it be too much for Husky fans?
Are you out of your mind? I mean, what kind of a ridiculous question is that? Honestly, like, how long have you been doing this for? 35, 40 years, whatever? I think I've been on your show probably 100 times in the last 25, 30 years, and that might be the dumbest thing you've ever asked me. And I love you. You know I love you.
I love you like
a brother. I love you to death. But, I mean, that's like, because you fall and hit your head, I mean, are you starting to get to a point where you need to have somebody kind of keep an eye on you, right, and kind of make sure all the motor skills are there? There's no way in hell I'm rooting for the Oregon Ducks in anything. John, I've told you, if Oregon played North Korea, I'd root for North Korea, okay? I mean, like, get out of here with that stuff. I mean, that's kind of a hope of Husky fans, honestly, that Oregon makes the championship game and then loses again. You know, you got Darren Thomas picking his nose, losing to Cam Newton in the BCS national title game. I don't know, maybe the Ducks get close and then Dylan Gabriel's picking his nose and we have that gif from now until the end of time to throw out there on social media. But no, I'm not rooting for the Ducks. I'm not rooting for the Ducks in anything. Nothing. Zero. Zilch.
Can Washington,
before I root for Oregon.
Can Washington get back to that level? Does it feel far-fetched? Or do you look around and go, hey, the resources are there, the fans will buy in, this can be an NIL place that matters?
Well, the resources are absolutely there. There's no doubt. They do need to bump up their game a little bit when it comes to NIL, but they're not that far off. I mean, look, they're just getting going now. And obviously, if Kalen was still here, kind of rolling over the excitement from a year ago, it might have been easier to pull something like that off. But it's kind of the old chicken or the egg thing. Like, what comes first, the fan enthusiasm or the wins? And I kind of feel like in Seattle, in a place like Seattle, where there's a lot of other stuff to do. I mean, this is no disrespect to Eugene. Come on, as much as you guys know, I can't stand Eugene. There ain't a lot to do out there besides Oregon sports, right? You got one professional, main professional team down there in the Blazers. You got a, you know, two big-time college programs, or I guess one if you don't count Oregon State now. But you get my point. There's a lot to do. There's competition here for the sports dollar. Right? And people are being asked to pay more. They're being asked to pay more for Seahawks tickets and Kraken tickets and Sounders tickets and Storm tickets, and the Sonics are on the way back probably very soon. So you got to stand out in a crowd to get support. There's only so much sport capital to go along to go around from the fans' perspective. So I kind of feel like Jed's kind of got to get this thing going a little bit more to get the people out there really fired up. You know, he mentioned, we had him on, I remember, during media day at the Big Ten thing and over the offseason, and Ryan Day's talking about having, you know, $20 million in NIL money, and Jed Fish came on the air and said, yeah, we got about a third of that. But that was back in July, right? So we'll see what this thing looks like over the offseason.
All right, so you got the pictures, you got the memories of the last three wins. But there's a reality out there, Softy. Like, Oregon might have it together in a way where Washington might never beat him again.
That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. Might never beat them again, like ever.
I don't know, man. Remember that 10-year run? I mean, is that out there at all for you? Is that a fear?
No, that's over with. That's ancient history now. I mean, I do find it a little bit amusing that Oregon fans like to blast UW fans for living in the past. You know, we hear that a lot from Oregon fans.
Yeah.
Which is funny because every time I go to Eugene, I see a play from 30 years ago on the Jumbotron with a guy named Kenny Wheaton.
True.
So, first of all, every fan base lives in the past because every fan base likes to stick their chest out about their accomplishments. I mean, are the Yankees living in the past when they flaunt their 27 titles and their 41 pennants? Of course they are. They haven't won a championship in, you know, 15 years, whatever it is. So everybody lives in the past. That's just idiotic for any fan base to accuse another fan base of saying that, including Oregon, who the one big thing they like to throw at Husky fans is 12 in a row. Well, that's over with now. And that's living in the past. So, look, I mean, Oregon's always going to have the resources. They're always going to have the weapons. Even when Phil goes, I'm certain that will never change for Oregon, and I'm certain you agree with that, that there will be a way that Oregon is able to capitalize on everything that Phil Knight has built, even long after he's gone. But, you know, you also had Free Willie Taggart down there in the Phil Knight era, and you had Mark Helfrich in the Phil Knight era, and Washington took advantage of that. So, look, there's going to be bumps in the road for everybody, and the idea that Oregon's never, ever, ever, ever going to lose again to Washington – unless you think ever is like 4 years, I'm not going to dance with you on that. No.
Softy, you're the best. I will see you in the press box. Thank you for coming on the show.
I'm not going down for this one.
You're skipping this one.
I'm skipping it. I will not be there. Two reasons. Number one, we got a Seahawks game at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I got to be back in Seattle for that, for the Jet game in New York. And we don't know what time the game's going to be. Could be noon, could be 4:30. And honestly, if the Huskies go down there and get murdered by Oregon, I don't want to see it.
Mm.
And you know what? If I don't go down there, it feels like with the sports gods and the sports karma, there's a better shot of UW winning the game if I'm not there. The price I have to pay for a victory is not seeing it. 2 years ago, when they beat Oregon with that whole shot to Taj Davis, I wasn't there. I was at a bar in Seattle watching the game, man. So I'd much rather pay the piper and stay home and have them win than me drive my ass down there and see them lose by 100. So I'm staying home.
All right. I'll be in touch. Softy, you're the best. Thank you, man.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
And there he goes. Dave Softemoller, KJR in Seattle. I want your reaction to that at 503-417-7575. We got a big buildup and a Thanksgiving before this Oregon-Washington game on November 30th at Autzen Stadium. Tell me what you're thinking about and what you made of Softy's comments.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.